Today's daf is Chagiga daf Yud Gimel. We are holding on the very top of daf Yud Gimel Amar Aleph. Today's daf is primarily going to be about the Merkava. We began to describe at the end of yesterday's daf a little bit about the Merkava of the Shechina, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, residence, so to speak, chariots up in Shemayim. So we're going to talk about who we can teach Merkava to. The Maisa Merkava is described both in the Sefer Yecheskel as well in Sefer Yeshayahu, who we're allowed to give Sisrei Torah in general to. And the Gemara is going to talk about a little bit of the content of the Merkava, why it is that what the four faces are on the Merkava, why it is that the accounts of the Merkava in Yecheskel and Yeshayahu are so different from each other. The Gemara is going to talk about the idea that that once the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, some of the Kanfei Hachayos were removed, and then it's going to have a stira between the number of legions up in Shemayim, and we're going to have three different answers to the stira about what exactly is going on in terms of the numbers of legions up in Shemayim. So all about the Ma'aser Merkava today. So let us begin at Yud Gimel Amud Aleph at the very top line of the page. We just went through at the end of Yud Beis Amud Beis the seven levels of Rakia and what was in each level of Rakia. So the Gemara adds, Rabbi Yachav Bar Yaakov adds, there was another Rakia above the Rashi Achayos. Tichsiv Udmus al Rashi Achayo Rakia Kein Hakerach Hanora. Ad kan yesh lecha rishus ledaber, mikan ve'elach ein lecha rishus ledaber. But up until now, we were allowed to speak about what was in each of these rakios. Beyond that is malam malam imcha. We're not allowed to talk about any of these things. Shekein kasu b'sefer ben sira, b'muflam imcha al tidrosh, u b'muchusum imcha al tachkar, b'masher rishisa hisbonein ein lecha esek b'nistaros. That which is beyond us, we're not supposed to be doresh, we're not supposed to seek out, we're not supposed to learn about and teach about, and only that which we were allowed to focus on, we should focus on. And Sefer Chaye Olam, the Stipler writes that learning about these types of things is not only a waste of time, but it's going to mess us up as well. Because in general, whenever a person learns about something that he doesn't know, we learn about a relationship, let's say, that we don't really have any hasaga of, have any understanding of, we use a mashal from something that's actual in our lives. We use it when we want to try to understand what a melech is, when we never experienced a melech, so we try to understand, we use a mashal of a president, even though it's not quite the same, a president and a melech, but it's some approximation. So we use a mashal to try to understand it. So he said, to use a mashal to try to understand in our own, from our own experiences, what's going on at these levels is going to be totally off base. It's not like there's anything that's an approximation of it, and therefore it would be entirely off base, and it's something that we're not supposed to try to focus on. It's something we're not supposed to try to learn about. Tanya, Amr Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, "Mat shuva shivaso baskal losa rasha b'sha shomer al b'masei av adamela elyon." What did the baskal respond to Nebuchadnezzar when he said that he wanted to be similar la elyon? He wanted to be similar to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Yatsa baskal v'yamrlo rasha ben b'noshel nimrod rasha shehimid kol olam kulo alav malchuso. So a person has a great yichus of being a rasha. He's a rasha, the son of a Russia, the grandson of Nimrod a Russia, who caused the whole world to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his Malchus. Kama Shnos of Shaladam, Shivim Shana, how long does a person typically live already? 70 years. Shenemar, Yemei Shnosenu Vahem Shivim Shana, Vim B'Gvuros Shmonim Shana. If a person happens to live to the age of Gvuros, so then he lives 80 years. But typically, a normal lifespan is 70 years. V'alam in Ha'aretz Ad L'Rekia, Mahali Chamesh Me'os Shana. From the Aretz to the Rakia was a 500-year journey. Va'ovya shel Rakia mahali chamish me'os shana. And then just to get through the thickness of the Rakia is another 500 years. V'chein bin kol Rakia or Rakia. And between each and every Rakia is another 500 years. L'mal me'en, and then above the Rakios you have Chayus HaKodesh. Now the Chayus HaKodesh, you think, okay, so you just pass by the Chayus HaKodesh. No. Ragle HaChayos keneged kulam. The Ragle HaChayos alone are keneged everything else that altogether. The thickness of the feet of the chayos would take another 500 years. Karsulei achayos keneged kulan. The ankles of the chayos are then keneged everything altogether. Shukei achayos keneged kulan. The shok of the chayos, the calves of the chayos are keneged kulan. Ruchuvei achayos keneged kulan. The knees are keneged kulan. Yarchei achayos keneged kulan. The thighs are keneged kulan. Gufei achayos keneged kulan. Then the torsos are keneged kulan. Savarei achayos keneged kulan. Their necks are keneged kulan. Rashei achayos keneged kulan. Their heads are as well. Karnei achayos keneged kulan. And the horns on top of the chayos. Lamala mehen kisei hakavod. And then on top of that, you have the kisei hakavod. Raglei kisei hakavod keneged kulan. And then the raglei kisei hakavod, the legs of the kisei hakavod, are also as large as everything else put together. Kisei hakavod keneged kulan. And then the kisei itself. And then melech kelchai v'kayam rav v'nisa shochein aleihem. And then on top of all that, you have a Kodesh Baruch Hu sitting high and mighty on his throne. And you say that you want to go and go up and be Adam Le'elyon, and you want to be like a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're on this world for a grand total of 70 years. You can't even get to stage one. You know, you want to connect all the way to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ach el Sha'ol Tared el Yachse Bar. Rather, you're going to be thrown into the depths. You're going to suffer terribly because you can't go anywhere near where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. That's the response of the Baskol to Nebuchadnezzar when Nebuchadnezzar said Adam Le'elyon. It is interesting. There's a discussion in Poskim when we talk about the shok. The Gemara Masechet Brach says that what the different parts of a woman's body that's erva. So there's a shok be isha erva. The question is, which part of the leg is the shok? Is the shok the upper part of the leg, or is it the bottom part of the legs? Machlok Rishon, Machlok Saposkim, which part a woman has to cover? Only the top part of the leg, you know, to the above the knee, or the bottom part of the leg as well. This Gemara certainly would fall squarely on the side that it's the bottom part of the leg, as it's describing going up the chayos. It starts with the foot and the ankle and the shok and the knee and the thigh, and so very clearly the shok is the calf part of the leg in this Gemara. It could have that it could be that there are multiple definitions in multiple contexts in terms of what the shok is. Merkava biyachid. One is not allowed to darshan the merkava biyachid. So Tani Rabbi Chia, avol moshen lo rashi prakim. But if some individual wants to learn merkava from a rabbi, you can give him the rashi parshios. You can give him some basic idea. Amar Rabbi Zera, ein moshen rashi prakim alav beizdin ulekol misha libo doig bekirbo. We only give over even the rashi prakim to an av beizdin and someone who takes it very seriously. Libo doig bekirbo means it literally means his heart worries inside of him, but it means someone who takes it extremely seriously, who's not going to take it with kalas rosh, and is going to understand the severity of it. Igada amri v'hu sheli v'doig b'kirbo. Not that we're giving two different people who you can teach the Maaseh Merkava to. Number one, an av beizin, and number two, mishali v'doig b'kirbo. No, it's a second quality that the av beizin needs in order to be most of the Maaseh Merkava to him. It needs to be not only an av beizin, but also someone who's libo doig b'kirbo. Amar Rabbi Ami, ein mos and Sisrei Torah, El Lamish Yesh B'Chamisha Devarim. We don't give over Sisrei Torah unless a person has five qualities that we look for in order to give over Sisrei Torah. Sar Chamishim, Unasa Panim, V'Yoetz, V'Chacham Charashim, V'Novel Nachash. He has to be someone with Sar Chamishim, which Rashi over here says, I think Rashi says, I thought Rashi said Sar Chamishim is someone, I don't see it. So that Sar is someone someone says that it's a 50-year-old. It doesn't just mean someone who normally Sar Chamishim would be someone who rules over 50 people. But that doesn't seem to be the primary understanding over here. And Naso Panim and Yoetz, someone who's able to give Eitza and Chacham Charashim, a teacher of wise people, and Novel Nachash, and someone who understands. Well, the Gemara will explain exactly what Novel Nachash is. V'amar Rabbi Ami, ein moshen devrei Torah la'ovid kochavim. Another limitation on who we teach what to is that one is not allowed to give devrei Torah over to an ovid kochavim. Shenemar lo asakein l'chol goy u'mishpatim bal yudoum. That you're not allowed to teach them the mishpatim, that the goyim are not supposed to be taught Torah. Now, before we go even any further, the idea that the Masoras HaShas writes in the name of the Aruch that that we don't give Divrei Torah, we only give Divrei Torah Belachash, in order that that it shouldn't be Mekatreg, that the Satan shouldn't be Mekatreg. And this refers to what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that the Torah was given Bechashoi, the Torah was given in secret, Mipnei HaSatan. And Rashi says Satan was Mekatreg, that he said that it's that it should be only for the Elyonim, that they shouldn't give the Luchos over to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi writes in Sefer Yeshaya that it's right to give Sisrei Torah, which are Nitnu Belachash, like Maisa Breshis, Maisa Merkava, only that's what the Lachash refers to, not to the Torah in general, but Sisrei Torah has to be given over very secretly. Sisrei Torah has to be given over with great care. In the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, he says that the derech of his Rebbeim, the Haflar of Nasan Adler, his other Rebbeim, was not to speak publicly about the Sefer HaZohar and about other areas of Sisrei Torah. He says in Miyamav, he never heard the Kedosha Yisrael speak about the Sefer HaZohar, not a single drush, the Chasam Sofer writes, that he heard from Nasan Adler or from the Hafla, his two Rebbeim, that would speak about Sisrei Torah. These are things that are done belachash. But more practical for us, probably, because we can't be Moser Sisrei Torah anyway, because we don't know it, but more practically for us, is Ein Moser Divrei Torah La'akum. These kinds of things come up all the time, where Gayim ask us questions about, why do you do this, why do you do that, and a lot of it may border on teaching Torah to Ovdei Kochavim. So it's interesting, the Gemara is very clear that Ein Moser Divrei Torah La'akum, it says, Lo'as Lechel Chol Mashmatum Al Yidom, Tosfos raises the question, why do I need that pasuk to teach me that you're not Moser, that we don't give Divrei Torah over to Gayim? There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that a Gay Ha'osek B'Torah is Chayiv Misa, that if a Gay learns Torah, he's Chayiv Misa. And whenever someone is not allowed to do something, and I provide him with the wherewithal to do it, I'm in violation of Lifnei V'Lasitein Michshol, and Issa Daraisa, of helping him do an Isser. So why do I need a Paschal? Mishpatim Bal Yidom? Without Mishpatim Bal Yidom, it's Aser anyway to teach him Torah, because it's going to be a violation of Lifnei V'Lasitein Michshol. In the Tshuvas Emunas Shmuel, and this is like the one famous line from the Tshuvas Emunas Shmuel, he writes that the Isser of Lifnei Iver only applies when the Machshil is Nisar in the Isser as well. Meaning, if something is Aser for you but not for me, I don't have an Isser of Lifnei Iver to be Machshil you in that Isser. So if I'm not a Kohen and you're a Kohen and you're not allowed to go in the cemetery and I'm Machshil you into going to the cemetery, it's not a violation of Lifnei Iver because I'm not Nisar in that Isser. That's the Chiddush of the Emunah Shmuel. So the Pri Chadash says, first of all, why should that be the case? Lifnei Iver L'Sitin Michshol, at the very least, it's even giving Eitzah Ra'ah is a violation of Lifnei Iver L'Sitin Michshol. Why should that be the case that if I'm Machshil you in an Isser that I'm not included in that, it's not a violation of Lifnei Iver? Sounds very, very strange. And also, obviously, it is a teretz for Tosfos Kasha, but Tosfos was bothered by this Kasha. Obviously, Tosfos didn't hold to this Chiddush. The way they say it over in Lamdus is, there are two ways to understand Lifnei Iver. One way to understand Lifnei Iver is that it's an Isser Bifnei Atzmo, it's its own separate Isser, that when there's, just like there's an Isser to eat Chazer, and there's an Isser to eat Nevela, and there's an Isser to do many, to wear Shatnes, Isser to do many things, there's an Isser called Lifnei Iver. And the second understanding of it is that Lifnei Iver is not an Isser Prati, it's not its own separate Isser, it's an Isser Klali, it's the general Isser that whenever I'm Machshel you in an Avera, it's Ki'ilu I have a Chelek in that Avera, it's Ki'ilu I took a Shutfus in that Avera. So if you understand the second way, that must be the way the Emunah Shmuel is understanding, that when I get you to do an Avera, it's as if I have a Chelek in that Avera. So it's if I cause a Kohen to go into the cemetery, it's as if I went into a cemetery. The only thing is, there's no Isser for me to go into a cemetery, I'm allowed to go into a cemetery, so Mela, it's not going to be a violation of Lifnei Iver. The Achi Ezer, Reb Chaim Eizer, points out that Lifnei Iver, there are two dinim in Lifnei Iver. One is when you give an Eitz Hashena Hogenas, when you give bad advice, even if it has nothing to do with Halacha, nothing to do with being Machshel Nisser, just giving bad advice, and that's even B'mili Di Alma, and that's only if the blind person doesn't realize what he's, the so to speak, blind person doesn't realize what's happening. He doesn't realize that it's that what he's doing is Asr, as opposed to b'mezid, where it's not wouldn't be a violation of the Lifnei Iver on that level. And that which we find the Lifnei Iver be'isr, that's a separate din, be'isurim, when it comes to causing someone to do an Avera, even if he's b'mezid, he knows that it's Asr, and you're not fooling him into doing it, you're just providing him the ability to do it, that would be Lifnei Iver on doing an Isr. And he said it's on that level of Lifnei Iver that the Emunah Shmuel is mechalik, meaning if I'm not a Kohen, and I cause a Kohen to go into a cemetery, so it's not going to be the second type of Lifnei Iver, says the Emunah Shmuel. It still might be the first type type of Lifnei Iver. But even within the first type of Lifnei Iver, says Reb Chaim Eiser, if the Kohen knows what he's doing, and I just provided him with the ability to do it, but he's doing it on purpose, he's doing it b'mezid, then it's not the first type of Lifnei Iver either. Because the first type of Lifnei Iver is when I'm mate, when I fool him into doing something that he's not allowed to do. So that's a discussion a little bit about Lifnei Iver. Now the idea of most from Divrei Torah L'Goyim in the Shari Brachon Sim Reish Mem Vav writes that Yesh Misha Kasav, that Ein Most from Divrei Torah L'Nachim, tells us you're not allowed to sell Svarim, you're not allowed to sell Sifrei Kodesh to Avdei Chavim. That's what Mostrin is, because if it's just teaching Divrei Torah, why would that be called Mostrin Divrei Torah? The Lashon Masira would be Adin Lilmo Divrei Torah Lo Avdei Chavim. So Mostrin means to physically give Divrei Torah to Goyim, and he writes that that's not really a correct diuk. We always talk about a Masora in giving over the Torah, so it's not a correct diuk, but he says the din is a din emes. It may in fact be true that you're not allowed to give Svarim to Avdei Chavim. Sefer Chassidim, he writes that a person shouldn't give as a mashkon. He shouldn't give a sefer as a mashkon to a guy, for a guy to protect, for a guy to guard. In Tshuva Simra Yoshev, Meir Arik, in Chelek Beis, discusses why it is, or if it is, that one is allowed to send a sefer in the mail in this light. Meaning, if you're not allowed to give a mashkon to a guy to protect, you're not allowed to give it to him as something to watch, a pikadon, as a sefer. So why are we allowed to send with the U.S. Postal Service or with UPS, unless you're lucky enough that you have a UPS guy who's Jewish? But why is it accepted practice to do that? So that's what Meir Arik discusses. It is accepted by most poskim that it is permissible to do that, that it's permissible to send the Divrei Torah, to send Svarim in the mail, but that's a discussion based on Ein Mosin Divrei Torah. In Tshuvas Bar Shevi, he just points out that the Ram and Shulchan Aruch don't mention this din, that Ein Mosin Divrei Torah Lenachri, and he says it must be that we don't paskin this din, and you're allowed to teach Goyim Divrei Torah, and his Raya is an interesting Raya from a Gemara in the second paragraph of Basra. The Gemara says, talks about the rights of Bnei HaChatzer, that if someone's living in your Chatzer and he decides to start a profession that makes a lot of noise or that smells a lot, so when are the other Bnei HaChatzer allowed to be ma'akiv him, allowed to stop him from doing that? He decides to open up a tannery in the Chatzer where you live and the smell is overwhelming, or he decides to become a carpenter and start banging at all hours of the night, right in the middle of the Chatzer. So he discusses someone who wants to be a Malami Tinokos, whether the Bnei HaChatzer are ma'akiv, are ma'akvin l'alav. So there's one brisa that says that Bnei HaChatzer cannot stop him if he wants to be Malami Tinokos. Another brisa says they can stop him. So the Gemara says, no, the one that says that they can stop him is talking about a Malami Tinokos who's L'Goyim, who's L'Nachrim. That you're allowed to stop him from opening up in the Chatzer. But it sounds like that opening up, that there is such a concept of being Malami Tinokos L'Nachrim, and therefore it's mutter, you see. From that Gemara, that's a raya, that it's mutter to be Malami Tinokos. So the pashtus is that's not what it means at all. It's not that they're teaching the Goyim to learn Torah, they're teaching the Goyim other things. That it means to open up a public school, it means to open up a school where they're going to teach them trade, they're going to teach them something else. That's the pashtus. So why is it, if we do paskin this way, why is it that the poskim leave it out, that the poskim, that the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, don't mention it at all? So Minchas Chinuch discusses this in Mitzvah Rishlam and Veis, and he says that the Rambam was ready, so Omari wrote in Hilchos Rotzeach that it's also to be machshil in Hilchos Malachim that a goy who learns Torah is chayiv misa, meaning the Rambam at Taisus Kasha, that why do you need a special limud, a special pasuk? Because anyway, it's also to be machshil anyone in an iser. So if a guy is not allowed to learn, obviously not allowed to teach him because you're being machshil him in an iser. So the Rambam relied on that. The Rambam didn't think we needed to make a separate halacha to teach us this. Now, one major exception of teaching a guy Torah is if a guy is coming to be Megayer. That old Posen Marsha talks about Masechah Shabbos, the guy that came to Hillel and he said that he wants to be Megayer and to be a Kohen Gadol, and he taught him Torah until he saw that it says that he's not allowed to be a Kohen, that he can't be a Kohen if he's becoming a Ger. So Marsha asked, what do you mean? It's Asur Legayer, L'Shem Yishra, L'Shem Malchus. How was Hillel allowed to be Megayer him? So he says Hillel was only Megayer him after he learned, and Hillel taught him Torah while he was a guy, and you're allowed to teach Torah when someone is Bala Hisgayer, when someone is coming to convert, and that it has to be that way because you have to teach him a little bit. You can't put a person in a situation where he's going to be expected to observe the Torah and he never learned anything about the Torah. Meaning, once he becomes a Jew, it's too late to start at that point. Once he becomes a Jew, he's already expected to observe everything. So there needs to be some training period, and that's what the poskim all assume, that there is some basic learning that's done before a person converts, so that he can at least have. And then there's a lifetime of learning after he converts, but some basic learning that has to be done before a person converts in order to prepare to be a Jew. I remember when I was in high school, one of my chaverim had a chavrusa on a summer program, a learning program that he was on in the summer. A guy from Texas that was he was told about tshuva, and he learned with him. And the guy by the end of the summer was wearing a black hat, and he was there. And they continued to learn over the phone. And then in January, the fellow called him up and said, "I'm not learning anymore." "So why aren't you learning anymore?" "So I decided I'm not doing it." "What do you mean you're not doing it? What do you mean? Yeah, you should be. We've come so far." "No, I'm not going to be a Jew." "You're not going to be a Jew? You are a Jew." "No, I'm not. I'm a guy." And we asked a shaila, and I was told that to go learn more about Judaism, I should attend this learning program. I decided I'm not doing it. So he has every right to say that he's not doing it. It shook up my friend a little bit. But that's part of it. They didn't think anyone would want to learn with him if they would tell the other boys that he was a guy. And you know, everyone would have wanted to learn with him if they would have told him that probably. But okay, so it shook him up a little bit. But that's the correct halacha. We just said that. Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Elazar, "Come and I'll teach you a little bit about the Maisa Merkava." Lo kashai. So he said he's not old enough. He's not ready to learn. Kikash nach nafshid Rabbi Yochanan. When he did hit the age where he's ready to learn about it, it was ready too late. Rabbi Yochanan was gone. Amle Rabbi Yasi tava gamrech ma'aser merkava. So he said Rabbi Yasi says, "Come and learn ma'aser merkava." Amle izakai gamir to me Rabbi Yochanan rabcha. He said, "If I would have been zocha, if I would have taken the opportunity, my first chance, I would have been able to learn from Rabbi Yochanan your rabbi. But Rabbi Yochanan's gone already." Rav Yosef have a gamir ma'isa merkava. Rav Yosef would learn the ma'isa hamerkava. Sabi de pumbedisa avutanu b'ma'isa bereshis. The sabi de pumbedisa would teach about the ma'isa bereshis. Amalei ligmar lo mar ma'isa merkava. Amalu agamali ma'isa bereshis. So they made a deal. You teach me ma'isa merkava, and I'll teach you ma'isa bereshis. Basar de gamir amalei ligmar mar b'ma'isa merkava. After they learned from the ma'isa bereshis, okay, now your turn. Teach me the ma'isa merkava. Amalu tanina bu dvash v'chalav tachas l'shanech. We learned about that it should be honey and milk under your tongue. Dvar mahamasukin midvash v'chalav yu tachas l'shonech. That which is sweeter than honey and milk should be underneath your tongue. Rabbi Avo amar mehacha kvashim l'vushech. Dvarim shein kivshono shalolam yu tachas l'vushech. The secrets of the world should be underneath a person's garments. That these are the ultimate secrets of the world. Amar lei tanin b'hu ad v'yomer lei ben adam. So he said, teach us about it until the pasuk v'yomer lei ben adam, which is the second part of the first pasuk and the second part of Yecheskel. Amar lu hein hein ma'aser merkava. He said that is the ikar of the ma'aser merkava. As Rashi points out, im ad kan Shenisem harbe shenisem sheshne. If this is what you've already learned, then you've learned a lot. Sheshne mikros halal shein ve'eru kena chashmal kemara keshes hemshik pidu alem chacham mildorsham shein medam mitzurus shchino marehu. The first parak has the real heavy stuff of the Ma'aser Merkava. The first parak of Sefer Yecheskel is where you have a lot of what we're not supposed to be teaching and what we're not supposed to be doresh. Meisve ad hechon Ma'aser Merkava, Rabbi Omer ad ve'er basra. How far does Ma'aser Merkava go? At what point is the Ma'aser Merkava over? So he says until the second va'era, which is pasuk chav zayin of parak aleph of Sefer Yecheskel. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer ad ha'chashmal. Rabbi Yitzchak says only until the point of chashmal. So answers Gemara ad ve'era megamrin and mikan ve'elach masrin rashi prakim. What that means is up until ve'era we can teach it. We're gomer. That's the Ma'aser Merkava. That's nitan lidrosh until the error, until the chashmal. From then on, we're only most rashi prakim. Igadarmi ad ve'eru masrin rashi prakim. That no, up until that point, we give rashi prakim. We can ve'elachem uchacham meven midaito in ilolo. And up after that point, if he's uchacham meven midaito, so then he can study ma'aser merkava. But if he's not able to understand it on its own, then he's not able to study ma'aser merkava beyond that point. Umidar shinu b'chashmal. Are we Yilavi Bidoresh, the Chashmal. Chashmal is one of the words that's used in describing the Merkava. It does not mean electricity. We had to, when electricity was invented, they had to come up with a Hebrew word to describe something that's so amazing, that so it's fire, it's not fire, it's something. So they used a word from Navi Cheskel. They had no idea what it meant. Meaning it just means something amazing. It just means something very impressive. So are we allowed to darshan Chashmal? Vahu Yinuka to darsh b'Chashmal v'nafuk nura v'achalte. There was a child that was darshaning Chashmal, and a fire came out and consumed him. And it says, Shani Yinuka d'lav matizimne. Yeah, because he was a child. What was he darshaning Chashmal for? He wasn't ready for it. And because he wasn't ready for it, that's why the fire came and consumed him. Amar of Yehuda, Baram Zachros, Lishlatova, Hanani ben Chizkiah Shemo. We should always remember Hanani ben Chizkiah for good. Il Molehu Nigna Sefer Yecheskel. Had it not been for him, Sefer Yecheskel would have been hidden away, because there are things that are Sosur Divrei Torah at the end of Sefer Yecheskel. Shay Dvarv Sosur Divrei Torah. That the words of Yecheskel are Sosur Divrei Torah. Ma asa? What did he do? Hello, Gimel Meils Garbe Shemen V'Yashav Aliyah V'Darshu. He got 300 barrels of oil, and he went up to an attic somewhere, and he locked himself in there to sit and to learn and to darshan until he was able to be miyashiv all the stiras. Tan Rabban Ma'isa Betino Gechad Sheyikari B'Beis Rabba B'Sefer Yecheskel. There was a child that was learning by his Rebbe's house, Sefer Yecheskel, V'Yemevin B'Chashmal, and he understood what was going on with Chashmal, and he was analyzing Chashmal. V'Yatza Eishmich Chashmal v'sarfaso, and Eish came out from Chashmal and burned him up. Obikshu lignol sefer Yecheskel. They wanted to be gone to sefer Yecheskel. Armelim Chanani ben Chizkiah imzeh chacham akol chacham main. Just because this one, it happened to this student, you think everyone's such a chacham that they're going to darshan Chashmal and Chashmal is going to consume them? It's not so dangerous for us. My Chashmal. What does the word Chashmal mean? Where does it come from? Amar of Yehuda. He says it means Chayos Eish Memalulos, angels speaking with fire. So that's the meaning of the word, whatever that means. Angels speaking with fire, but apparently fire came out and consumed people who studied Chashmal. The Masnisa Tana, Itum Chashos Itum Memalulos. Sometimes they're quiet and sometimes they're talkative. Bishash Adibur Yotzim Miupia Kulj Baruch Hu Chashos. When a Kulj Baruch Hu is speaking, these malachim are quiet. Bishash Ein Adibur Yotzim Miupia Kulj Baruch Hu Memalulos. But when a Kulj Baruch Hu is not speaking, they're talking. V'achayos ratzov v'shov kemara habazak. The chayos are ratzov v'shov. So my ratzov v'shov, what does ratzov v'shov mean? I'm reviewed the ka'or hayotzi mipi ha'kivshan. That they like the fire that comes out from the mouth of a furnace that's burning things in the furnace. Every once in a while, the fire flares up. My kemara habazak. What does it mean that it's kemara habazak? I'm Rabbi Yosef Rebbechanina. Ka'or hayotze mibein acharasim. Like the fire that comes out from in between two shards that you have in the kivshan. Where did it go? Amar Vidom Rav Shahalach Luchboshes Kolalim Kulo Tachas Nevuchadnezzar Harasha. That it went to conquer the whole world and instead of Nevuchadnezzar Harasha. V'kol kach lama Shlo Yomru Masolam Biyanu Mashvela Masar Kodesh Baruch Hu as Banav. That why is it that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave over his children to Nevuchadnezzar Harasha? That we shouldn't say that an Uma Shvela that Kodesh Baruch Hu allowed an Uma Shvela, a lowly nation, to rule over Klal Yisrael. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Mi Garm Li Shei Yashem Shla Ovdi Psilim Avon Hasem Shal Yisrael Hin Garm Li. What caused me to have to work for the Ovdi Psilim, to give them power, to give them control? It's the sins of Klal Yisrael. And if Klal Yisrael would only move away from their sins, then we wouldn't have these problems. Everything would be better. Ve'era Achayos Vine Ofen Echad Ba'aretz Eitzal Achayos. Again, another pasuk by Master Merkava. Amar Blazer Malach Echad Shu Omid Ba'aretz V'Rosh Magia Eitzal Achayos. There's a Malach that stands on the ground and its head reaches up all the way to the chayos. B'masnisa tana Sandalfon Shemo Hagavah Mechaver Mahali Chamesh Meil Shana. That his name is Sandalfon, and he's a 500-year journey distance above all the others. V'omir Achorei Merkava V'Koshek Sarim Lakono. He stands behind the Merkava and he ties crowns on the Ribono Shlalom. Eini Vaksiv Baruch Kvar Hashem Yimukomo Mechlal Demukomo Leko Diadalei. How can he say he stands behind the Merkava, stands behind the Kodesh Baruch Hu? I thought Hashem is Baruch Kvar Hashem Mima makomo, that in his makom there's no one that's there. So Amar Sham Atka Va'azil V'yasiv Bereisha, that over there he goes and he sits at the head. I guess that he doesn't stay there, he just goes for a little bit. Amar Rava Kol Shara Yecheskel Ra Yishayahu, that whatever Yecheskel saw in his vision of the Merkava, Yishayahu saw the same thing. Yishayahu also saw the entire Maisa Merkava just as Yecheskel did. L'may Yecheskel Dome L'ben Kfar Shara Samelech. Yecheskel is like a villager who sees the king. L'may Yishayahu Dome, and what was Yishayahu like? L'ben Krach Shara Samelech, like a city dweller who sees the king. What is this talking about? Why is one a Ben Kfar, one a Ben Krach? So the if you look at the actual Nevuos, the content of the Nevuos in Yeshayahu Paragvav, where it describes the Maisa Merkava, it's very little description actually. It's just like Baruch Yoshev El Kiso Ram Benisa Baruch Var Hashem Mekomo. There's not much in terms of description. You look in Yecheskel and he describes all the Chashmal, he describes all of these other things that seem to be much much more impressive. And in that level is probably what it means, that Yecheskel is like a villager, that if you have someone who's not used to seeing amazing things, so he's going to describe every detail because he's so taken by every detail, he's so distracted by every detail. Whereas someone who grew up, I always give the mashal, someone who's never been to Times Square before. So someone who walks through Times Square every day and he sees the big electronic billboards and everything, he doesn't even notice it anymore. You just walk right past it and you get to wherever it is that you need to go. And you can zone in on what's important, whatever meeting he has, wherever he may need to go. That's the city dweller. But the villager comes to Times Square and he sees, he's never been to a big city before, and he sees all these impressive things. So he's going to write a report. When he writes down about his trip, he's going to write about everything and how the signs were flashing and this, all the different things that he saw. So that's the sense of the villager that comes to see the Maisa Merkava. Once in a while, Isaac Bernstein said that's what it means. Rasa Shivcha Aliyam, the Medrash says, Mashal Aroi Yecheskel Ben Buzi Ben Nevuaso, that the Shivcha Aliyam saw what Yecheskel Ben Buzi was not able to see in his Nevuah. Why pick on Yecheskel? Why not Rasa Shivcha Aliyam Mashal Aroi? Like Rashi says in Chumash, Hanaviim Ben Nevuaso, all the Nevi'im, the Shivcha Aliyam was able to see amazing things. So he says, no, because what did the Shivcha Aliyam say? By the Shiras Hayam, the Kal Yisrael, all, no matter what level they were on, were able to see all the amazing things of Kriyas Yamsuf. You look at the Midrashim about what Kriyas Yamsuf was like, the amazing miracles that were going on with trees growing in the middle of the Yam, and they could pick Peros, Kinosar, off of the trees as they were going through the Yam, and so many miracles that we described in the Haggadah that happened at the Yam, so many Nisim that occurred, so many Makos, and still, what does the Shivcha Aliyam say? Zekeli van Vehu. It's reminiscent of Yeshaya Anavi, not like Yecheskel. Yecheskel was the one that was impressed by all the other miracles, by all the other things that were happening, and he almost missed the vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev El Kiso Ram V'Nisa. But the Shivcha Aliyam was able to zone in on what was important, like Yeshayahu Anavi was, where he sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev El Kiso Ram V'Nisa. The Bali Atosos point out that a Ben Kfar who says that he saw the king, they're not going to believe him, because a Ben Kfar never sees the king. So in order for a Ben Kfar, in order for a villager to get people to believe him that he saw the king, he has to describe in great detail, I'm telling you, I saw this and I saw that. He has to describe everything in detail. Whereas a Ben Krach, who's always seeing the king, people believe him. He could just say, I saw the king. So maybe that's the difference between Yecheskel and Yeshayahu, that Yecheskel had to go into detail, because otherwise no one would ever believe Yecheskel, that he saw the king. He was Mitznavi in Chutz Laretz, whoever had a Nebuah in Chutz Laretz. That's not something that was doable. Yeshayahu was an Eretz Yisrael. Yeshayahu, of course, was able to see the king. The Rambam says that Ben Krach, that the people of the city know, it's not about who he is, it's about who he's describing it to, that he's describing it to his fellow city dwellers. So when you describe it to your fellow city dwellers, they know what the king looks like. They know what you just say, I saw the king, and they already know what you're talking about. But Yecheskel had to, the Ben Kfar, had to, the people that he's talking to don't know what it means to see the chariot of the king, to see the motorcade. So he has to describe exactly what it looks like. Okay, different explanations of what this mashal means. Amrei Shlakish, Maiduch Siv Ashiru L'Hashem Ki Goga Ah, Shiru L'Misha Mezga'a L'Gain. It's a, what's the double lashon of Goga Ah? That it's a Shira for that he who is over the game, over those who are already raised up. Damar Mar, Melch Shebechayos Ari, Melch Shebebehemos Shor, Melch Shebeofos Nesher, Va'adam Mezga'a Lehen. The king of all wild beasts is a lion, the king of all tamed animals is an ox, the king of all birds is an eagle, and a person is over all of them. Va'Kadosh Baruch Hu Mizgal Kulan Va'Kol Olam Kulo. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is over man and over the entire world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Go Al Geim. Kasav Echad Omer Udumus Pnei Pnei Adam Pnei Aryeh Ela Yamin La'Arba'asam Pnei Shor Me'asmol La'Arba'asam. One pasuk says that when it describes the images on the Merkava, it describes a Pnei Shor Uksiv Arba'a Panim Le'echad Pnei Echad Pnei Akruv U'Pnei Asheni Pnei Adam Ashlish Pnei Aryeh Ve'Arvi Pnei Nesher. That it leaves out the Pnei Shor and instead puts a Pnei Kruv, the image of a Kruv, of an angel, on the Merkava. So which is Vilu Shor Lo Kachashiv. And Shor isn't mentioned. It's not one of the images anymore. Amrei Shlachis Yecheskel Bikesh Lev Rachamim V'Havcha L'Kruv. Yecheskel is M'Vakesh Rachamim that they should change the Pnei Shor to a Pnei Kruv. Amrei Lefan Ribon Shalom Kategor Yasas Hanegar. He said, how could it be that there could be a Shor in the Merkava? A Shor is reminiscent of the Parah Aduma. So we don't want a Kategor to be Nasas Hanegar. We can't have that. That's never not going to be good for Klal Yisrael if that's part of the Merkava. My Kruv, what does Kruv mean? Amrei Bivo Keravya, that it has a cherubic face like a baby. She came to Bavel, currently Yenuka Ravya. In Bavel, they would call a child a Ravya. Amalei Rav Papa Labai El Me'ata Duxiv Pnei Echad Pnei Akruv Pnei Asheni Pnei Adam Vashlishi Pnei Aryeh Ve'Arvi Pnei Nesher Hainu Pnei Akruv Hainu Pnei Adam. If a Kruv looks like a baby, if it looks like that's a human face, so how is that any different than Pnei Adam? That's also a human face. Afilu Api Rav Ravi Va'Api Zutri. The Gemara answers, a larger human face and a smaller human face, meaning an adult human face and a child human face. One pasuk says that each of them had six wings. Each of the malachim had six wings. Because that they only had four wings. It's not a stira. One is when the Beis Hamikdash was around. The other is when there was no longer a Beis Hamikdash. So then it was only four wings. Chayos up in Shemayim had fewer wings after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Hey minayu imut, which of the wings were taken away? Amrav Chanan al Amrav, also show Amrav Shira behen, the ones that they sing Shira with. Ksiv hachu b'shtayim yofeif b'kar zel zev yamar, that with two of them they flutter and they sing Shira. Uksiv hitif einecha bo ve'enenu, that when it says hitif, alashon of yofeif, it's not there anymore. So those two wings were the ones that are gone. V'rabbanan amri osun shemachas Ben Raglayim. The Rabbanans say, no, it's the wings that cover their legs. Those are the ones that are taken away. Shenemar V'Raglayim Regel Yishara. Because the pasuk describes the Raglayim of the malachim as of the chayos as being regel yeshara, of having a straight leg without a joint to bend their legs. The lav di imut mina aviyada, and had it not had the lav di imut mina aviyada, and had it not been that they were missing these wings, where would we ever know that they had straight legs? We can only know it because they were missing these wings that used to cover their legs. Says Gemara, no, that's not a raya. Dilma di glay v'chazilei, and maybe they just lifted up the wings and they revealed their legs so that they were able to be seen. What, the fact that it says that their faces look like Pnei Adam, is that also that they were missing that which normally covered their faces? No, it's obviously that they revealed their faces, so we know. No, there's a big difference. A face a person sometimes reveals in front of his Rebbe, but the legs, no. No, a person doesn't reveal in front of his Rebbe. He doesn't go to his Rebbe wearing shorts. So that was that's why we know they must have been missing these wings after the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. Raglayim Regel Yishara, the Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Yom Beis says that someone who's mispalel has to be mechaven es raglav, because Raglayim Regel Yishara, that we stand with our feet together based on Raglayim Regel Yishara, that it sounded that their two Raglayim were like Regel Echad, one straight Regel. And that's why when we daven Shemon Esrei, we stand with two feet together as if it was one regel. In the Yerushalmi, there's a machlokas amroim, what the reason is that we have to hold our feet together during davening. Either it's to be like the Malachi Asharis, like the Bavli says, or maybe the makar is from the Kohanim, that it says about the Kohanim, Losalu b'malos al mizbechi, that the Kohanim go ekev b'tzad godol. They never spread their legs apart too much. When they walk up the mizbech, they put their heel right by the toe as they walk in very tiny steps, because of Losalu b'malos al mizbechi. That's the way they would walk. So Talmid Rabbi Yonah writes that the Bavli holds like that the reason of the Malachim, and therefore the and this big nafkamina. How do you hold your legs together? One in front of the other, or one next to the other? If it's based on the second reason of the Yerushalmi, it's the way they would walk. So obviously, they have to go one in front of the other, just very close to each other. Whereas if you hold that it's like the Malachim, it would be one right next to each other. In Trumas Hadashin, he quotes this not just by Shimon Esrei, but he says by Kedusha as well. It makes sense that it should be by Kedusha. That's where we're saying the Pesukim from the Ma'aser Merkava. Baruch Kvar Hashem Yimukomo, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. That's what the Malachim do. That's for Karazel Zevi Amar. The Malachim are calling out to each other and saying this Shirat Hashem. So we should look like Malachim when we're saying these words of Shira. In the another takana that they added, the Medrash Tanchuma writes, it says Ubishtayim Ya'ofef. So the Chachamim were Mesakein that we should be Ma'ofef al Raglav when we say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. That a person should bounce up and down a little bit when saying Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And that's based also on the Malachim. All of this is based on imitating the Malachim when we're saying what the Malachim would typically say, what the Malachim were supposed to be saying. Chasvech Romer Elif Alafin Yishamshuna V'Rabu Ravavin Kadmo Yikumun Chasvech Romer Hayesh Mispar L'Gedudav. One pasuk describes a number of legions up in Shemayim, and the other one says there's no number; it's infinite. So how do we miyashiv the stira? There's three ways to be miyashiv the stira. Lo kasha Kan Bizman Shebeis Hamigdash Kayam Kan Bizman Shein Beis Hamigdash Kayam Kaviyachol Shenismata Pemalia Shalmala. That one is when the Beis Hamigdash is around; one is when the Beis Hamigdash is not around. It's as if after the Chorban Abayis, something is missing up in Shemayim. Tanya Rebbe Yomri Shema B'Yossi Ben Dosai Elef Alafin Yisham Shuneha Mispar Gedud Echad L'Gedudav Ein Mispar. That what we're describing is that there is a number of a single Gedud. There is a number of Malachim or whatever in a single legion of Malachim, in a single group. But the number of Gedudim, that's what's Ein Mispar. That's what there's no number to. Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba gives a third approach to understand Elef Alafim Yisham Shuneha L'Nahar Dinar. By the Nahar of Fire, the Nahar Dinar, that's where you have the Elef Alafin. Shenemar Nahar Dinur Nageid V'Nafek Min Kadmoi Elef Alafin Yisham Shunei V'Riba Ruvavan Kadmoi Yikuman. That Elef Alafin are what's Mishamish the Nahar, which brings the Shefa to the Olam Shalamata, which brings the Shefa down to this world. But the Malachim in the Pamalia in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a Mispar. There's no number to the number of Malachim. That's infinite. Mehecha Nafik, where does it come, this Nahar Dinar, where does it come from? Mizeos and Shel Chayos. It's from the sweat of the Chayos. So the Hechon Shafech, and where does it spill to? Amrav Zutra Bar Tuvia, Amrav Al Rosh Rishayim Begehenim. Onto the heads of the Rishayim Begehenim. Shnemri Nesaras Hashem, Chema Yatza, Visar Mischolel Al Rosh Rishayim Yachul. Chema Yatza is the Zeya that comes from the Chayos. Ravacha Bar Yaakov Amar, Al Asher Kumtu, that this Nahar Dinar spills out on those generations that were never created, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of kept with him, and he was supposed to create, but he didn't create in the end. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu just put them in Gehenim, and that's where the Nahar flows. Shenemar, Asher Kumtu V'lo Eis, Nahar Yutzak Yisodam, that the Nahar Dinar is poured on those Asher Kumtu, those that were folded up and were just put away in Gehenim. The Gemara brings a brisa that explains who are these generations that were never created. So Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shimon HaChassid, El Tshameos V'Shivim Arba Doros, Shekumtu Li Hibaros Kodem Shenivra Olam. These were all of those generations that were supposed to be created, the 974 generations before the world was created. Lo Nivru, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create them because he saw that the Olam was not going to be Miskayim without Torah. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Usha Salan B'chol Dar V'dar. So he went and he put a few of them in each generation. Ve'hein hein Azepanim Shabadar. And these are the Azepanim in each generation, the people who didn't have the benefit of Torah to break that sense of Azus, because these are people that were supposed to be born into a world without Torah. Such a world never would have been Miskayim. So that's how they end up as the Azepanim in each and every generation. Okay, we'll stop there.